The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. For the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her home as his wife, but he had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Again, these words from today's first lesson. "Look, the young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel." And then from today's gospel, "Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus." Our two readings today, one from the prophet Isaiah, the other from Matthew's gospel, are 8 centuries removed from each other, each coming from different times and different circumstances. And yet, for us, during these seasons of Advent and Christmas, these two passages have become intertwined, seemingly inseparable. This morning, however, it might be helpful for us not only to see what they share in common, but to allow each passage to speak on its own terms for us today. Let's begin by reviewing the cast of characters in these two stories. Certainly in Matthew's account, the one most familiar to us, we hear of Joseph, of Mary, we hear of the newborn Jesus, and we hear of an angel who appears in a dream. And of the human characters, it is Joseph, the carpenter, a tradesman, who is the principal actor. But the Isaiah passage offers a different cast of characters. There is King Ahaz, and then an anonymous young woman, and a yet-to-be-born child, who is to be given a symbolic name. And in this, the prophet Isaiah speaks on behalf of God. But here, and in the larger context of chapter 7, it is Ahaz, the great king of Judah, who is the principal actor. Ahaz, who ruled close to 800 years before the time of the New Testament. Two sets of characters then. Similar in some respects, different in others. So for a few minutes, by comparing and contrasting these two stories, might they have a word for us during this holy season? First of all, consider the two principal human actors in the stories, King Ahaz on the one hand, Joseph of Nazareth on the other. One a king, the other a carpenter. One who lives in the luxury of a palace, the other a peasant tradesman from an insignificant small town. Not only do they differ in social status, but we note that the Bible sharply contrasts the quality of their religious devotion. On the one hand, Matthew tells us that Joseph was a righteous man. That is, Joseph was one faithfully committed to Jewish religious principles. Yet on the other hand, the Bible really doesn't have anything good at all to say about King Ahaz. In today's lesson, he purely out of self-interest, is engaged in political games in order to ensure his throne without placing any trust at all in God or in God's promises, those ancient promises made to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then to King David. When it comes to the role each plays in today's readings, then, the contrast between the piety of Joseph on the one hand and Ahaz's lack of piety is a difference of faith and unfaith. Joseph, a pious and righteous man, is portrayed as a person of faith. He trusts the word of an angel spoken to him in a dream, despite the disgrace of his fiancée being pregnant, presumably from some adulterous relationship, an offense which under Jewish law had serious consequences. Joseph trusts that the hand of God somehow, in some mysterious way, is at work in this embarrassing moment. That it is the working of the Holy Spirit. But in contrast, King Ahaz is a person of unfaith. When Isaiah tells him that Judah will not suffer invasion by the military forces of Damascus and the northern province of Ephraim, an assurance which could be confirmed for him were he to simply ask for a sign perhaps from above in the form of a clap of thunder or from below in the rumblings of an earthquake, Ahaz hypocritically, in a hollow display of piety, says, well, he would not want to put God to such a test. Ahaz simply does not want to believe the assurances that God has made to him and has made to God's people over the centuries. The assurances that now come to him in the words of the prophet Isaiah. Ahaz remains faithless. He alone thinks that he can control his future and not God. Secondly, though, what about the two women we meet in these stories? There is, of course, Mary. But unlike the active role she plays in the Christmas story of Luke's Gospel, Mary in Matthew's story is a quiet figure. All we know about her is that she, likely still a teenager, was engaged to Joseph, and then quite unexpectedly, scandalously to many, is found to be pregnant. Similarly, in our reading from Isaiah, there is an anonymous young woman, not necessarily a virgin, whom the prophet says will soon bear a son. She too was probably still in her teens, likely a member of King Ahaz's harem. As with Mary in our gospel, this young woman is also the quiet actor in the story. But her pregnancy will prove to be for Isaiah the very sign that Ahaz refused to ask for, the very sign that will confirm God's ongoing promises that God will be with God's people in the midst of turmoil and conflict. The sign is in that symbolic name she is to give this son, Immanuel, in Hebrew meaning God with us. For God, Isaiah proclaims, is always with us, even in the worst and most fearful of times. Finally, what about the two infants? Of course, in Matthew's narrative, the identity of the newborn infant is well known. Jesus has been instructed by an angel to name him Jesus. Sometimes, though, I think we forget that this too is a symbolic name. While in the Greek language of the New Testament, the name is Jesus, in the Hebrew and Aramaic languages spoken by first century Jews, his name is Jeshua, or Yehoshua, which literally means he will save. That is, this infant, born to a yet unmarried peasant teenage mother, will, in the course of his life and ministry, his death and resurrection, be the one who will deliver us, Jew and Gentile alike, from the consequences of our fears and failures, our fear of and failure to care for the alien, the refugee, the impoverished, the homeless, be they the homeless on our streets or the homeless amidst the ravages of East Aleppo. And what of the infant born to the anonymous teenager in Ahaz's harem? Although we know nothing of its mother apart from this one verse in today's reading, her soon-to-be-born son will carry this name, Emmanuel, God with us. By that name, her son will be a witness to God's unfailing promises, promises that despite the unfaith of the son's father, the son himself will be a servant of God's grace. And the larger biblical record bears this out, for the son who was born and who succeeded Ahaz on the throne of Judah did become the very antithesis of his father. We know that Emmanuel, in the person of King Hezekiah, ruled Judah for 29 years and is remembered by the author of 2 Kings as one who did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Unlike his father, who vacillated between seeking the favors of Egypt and its gods on the one hand, and Assyria and its gods on the other, Hezekiah is remembered as one who faithfully led God's people in accord with the law of Moses and the counsel of the prophet Isaiah. So what might we take home from these two distinct yet intertwined stories as we approach the celebration of Christmas? Both, it seems to me, remind us of the surprise and the constancy of grace. For who would have believed that Hezekiah, Emmanuel, God with us, the son of an arrogant, unfaithful, unbelieving Ahaz, would become the leader who would steer the people of Judah through the troubled waters of international politics by simply having them hold fast to the divine law once given to Moses? And 800 years later, who would have believed that out of the embarrassing pregnancy of a yet unmarried teenager would come the Savior of the world, the Savior of Jew and Gentile alike? These weeks of Advent, then, call us ever to remember that our God, the God whom we meet here weekly in water and word and bread and wine, is a God both of surprise and fidelity, a God of wonder and constancy. That though our place in life might be that of carpenter or king, teenager or tradesperson, civil servant or bureaucrat, though we might suffer embarrassments, reversals, afflictions, loss, grief, times of despair, in the midst of this, the word for us always is Immanuel, Emmanuel, God with us, as one who saves, as one who is with us always, even to the end of the age. And this is the gospel of the Lord.